up, gang? It is I, your boy, the Chocolate Puma, back from Christmas vacation. That's right. Took a little bit of a break-ski for the Christmas holiday slash birthday slash life. You know how that goes. But I'm back, and I am back with a very special episode. Why is it special, you might be asking? Why, this is episode 100 of the Chocolate Puma podcast. God damn, we did it. That's right. 100 episodes of audio fire. And who better to join me for episode 100 than the guest that I have had on the most? One of my longest friends I've had in my entire life here. Kevin, aka Ernie Bernie McInerney. He's joining us this week. We give you our year-end award for the most awful people in the world, tentatively titled the Grandpa Joe Award. So that's going to be fun. Going to talk about the Chicago Bears finally cutting the dead weight that is Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. And we just banter and have a good time. Sit back, enjoy, and let's see if we can get another 100 episodes under our belt. All right, y'all. Peace.
Yes, 100 episodes. I had no idea I would make it this far.
Amazing. Congratulations, my man. That's awesome.
Yes.
Period of time does 100 episodes span for you?
When did I start? I started in August of 2020.
Okay.
I think that was the first episode.
That's pretty good production.
I think so. I've been pretty fairly consistent, I think.
Yeah, that's impressive. Well done, my man.
Yeah, so all it took was, you know, Christmas and, you know, my mom getting a little bit sick, but she's all good now for me to, like, kind of take a month break, but we're back.
Awesome. Well, welcome back now. I'm glad mom's feeling all right.
Hell mom, yeah. All good. Yeah, she was actually... I knew she was feeling all right when she was roasting the nurse for having a wig on. I was like, oh, there she is.
Mom's back. Oh, that's good.
Is she home
and doing well now?
Oh, yeah. She's back at home.
Oh, good. Awesome.
So you had the great idea of doing our Grandpa Joe Awards, the three most worthless people of 2021.
Grandpa Joe. I was very excited for this one.
I was too. I was very happy to like come up with a list and reason. I had to like whittle it down from like 10 because like Frank Costanza, I got a lot of problems with a lot of people, but you know, I was able to do it.
2021 there were no shortage of good candidates. And there were people that I feel like as we go through the names, I'm worried that you'll be like, you're probably going to have somebody very good that I either missed or left off my list. And there's going to be ones that I'm like, I wanted to include them, but like, I wasn't sure. So like, this will be fun to find out. So I'm ready, man.
All right. I'm going to let you birth the idea. So I think it's only fair that you kick us off here.
All right. Well, let me start with an honorable mention. So I'll explain why in a second. So Kyrie Irving and Antonio Brown. I'm going to package together Kyrie because, you know, wanting to be a voice for the voiceless and yet really didn't clarify his thoughts, still didn't get vaxxed. So it's not like he's just complaining about people losing their jobs for vaccines. He's like, he's actually anti-vax, but he's crouching it in all of this other garbage rhetoric. Kyrie Irving has a garbage brain, I'm sorry to say. Fantastic basketball player, but totally garbage brain. And Antonio Brown with the fake vax card and literally everything else he does. So I wanted to, I felt compelled to mention them because they are pretty chuddy in every sense. But my number three, I'm going to do this in ascending order. So my number three, and when I thought about Grandpa Joe, I kind of thought like, for me, what are the characteristics or qualities of a Grandpa Joe? And to me, it's like somebody who fails upward, somebody who like pretty lazy, and that's a foreshadowing, but also somebody aggressively old and white. And so my actually number three is Brian Kelly. Ooh. Because first of all, he has not done, in my opinion, jack shit. He hasn't won anything. And then left Notre Dame, sort of high and dry here. Just pleased to LSU. And the first time he raises his head in LSU, all of a sudden he's got a gumbo accent. and he's dancing in one of the weirdest videos I've seen in a very long time. So to me, it's like he's falling upward. He's just an old, mean white guy. And he's aggressively embarrassing.
That's a good choice. I didn't even consider him because 2021 was such a garbage fire. But when he took that job at LSU, it was Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh, the head coach at the Jets, told the story about when they were graduate assistants and he invited them to his Christmas party. They thanked to, you know, as a nice guy, and he had them shovel and park cars. Like, what a dick.
when people show you who they are, you need to listen. That story to me is incredible. And the fact that like Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh would actually like cop to the story. Like, I know it came out, through another report. So it's not like they were necessarily interviewed, but for this particular, but like they talked about it, they admitted it. And for me, like, if you're willing to burn the guy that ostensibly gave you a shot at some point, right? Like a graduate assistant. So, and they have no remorse about just blowing up his spot. To me, really says a lot about who he really is. I mean, look, he got a kid killed.
I was just about to say, we haven't even talked about, you know, the murder.
Right.
Do you call it a murder if it's like just gross negligence? Like, I don't know.
It's manslaughter, I would think.
At the very least.
He knew what was going on. The kid was tweeting from the top of the tower, the cherry picker, tweeting about how scared he was. And Brian Kelly's out there at 50, 60 mile per hour winds. And they kept practicing after it went down. Like, what kind of a guy? Brian Kelly. And now he's super rich.
I can forgive the dancing. It will, because I mean, he's an old white guy, like from the Midwest. Like, of course he's not gonna know how to dance. Fine. Like, I find it if he's not Nick Saban, who's like been around, like Nick Saban goes into homes. So I'm willing to bet like he went and took dance lessons to figure out how to do the electric slide with guys' grandmas so he can endear himself to some of these five stars. Like, I get it. Brian Kelly ain't that. He's not personable. So being able to dance is par for the course. But the fake accent, I'm like, dude, we know what you sound like. We just heard you talk 24 hours ago. Like, there's video.
All of a sudden, he's got that twang.
I sure am glad to be down here. And it wasn't even like a Louisiana accent. It was like he watched Dukes of Hazzard on the way over and was like, got it.
Oh, Brian Kelly falling upwards for no reason, lucking himself into money. All right, who you got?
Okay, so I got, if I had to pick an honorable mention, I didn't, but I always got people in my back pocket. Sage Steele and Jason Whitlock, the cooning don't stop with those two. They're just like next level. Like Sage Steele, she got mad because like all the other black anchors had like a black history like program and didn't include her in it. And I'm like, you don't even like to admit that you're black. And then she like takes shots at Barack Obama out of nowhere on Jay Cutler's podcast.
Sage Steele, kind of MAGA herself.
Oh, she's very. I mean, she hasn't come out and said it, but just some of the, like, you know, letting that dude like just rub on her hair that time and, you know, talking about personal liberties when it comes to vaccines and you work for, I don't know, Disney, like.
Yeah.
So, and Jason Whitlock, I mean, basically if a black person likes it, he hates it. I mean, that, like, Jason Whitlock is so awful that when people make fun of him on Twitter, like, they don't even use his weight against him, like, as a lowest common denominator kind of joke. Like, as a collective, like, everybody on Twitter has been like, you know what? He's so awful. Like, we don't need to go, we don't need to stoop so low as to make fun of his weight. We got all this other stuff to make.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I remember, like, when he first started making that turn when Kaepernick took his knee, and he's like lecturing him at the press conference, like, Colin, here's what you need to do, and blah, 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 blah. And Kaepernick looks at him and goes, hey, that's great. Next question. Like, he didn't even like acknowledge anything that he's, and ever since that moment, he's found a reason to like shit on anything Black people do. So Sage Steele, Jason Whitlock, my two honorable mentions. But my number three is Aaron Rodgers. Because he knows what he's doing. Like,
he's 1,000%.
He's not a dumb dude. Like, so here's where I'll respect Kyrie. When Kyrie said he wasn't getting in, you know, getting vaccinated, he stood on it. He took the barbs. He did everything that came with, you know, somebody being unvaccinated when, you know, you're in the middle of a pandemic. Aaron Rodgers goes, I've been immunized, knowing what that implies. And then he places the blame on the journalists for not, asking follow-up questions. Like, no, you know, you didn't take the shot. The team knew you didn't take the shot because they presented like his alternative methods to the NFL. The NFL considered him unvaccinated, and they still let him go into these press conferences, you know, all raw faced and everything. And I'm like, what if one of those guys had cancer? What if one of those guys lived with somebody with cancer? A host of other diseases that can suppress your immune system. And Aaron Rodgers is just out here, raw dog in the air and lying. He's lying. Like, he go, what killed me most was when he quoted Martin Luther King Jr. incorrectly. Like, yes, he goes on McAfee.
I love that movie.
Like, anytime I think a middle-aged white guy gets in trouble, they immediately go to the Martin Luther King well, but they choose like eight words out of like a 40-minute, like, you know, speech on like privilege and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, so he's like,
leave all the context out. It's like, he wrote this really nice letter one time about, you know, all of us kind of like working together, but they forget that he was sitting in jail when he wrote the letter.
Or when they're like, you don't protest the right way, you know, like Martin Luther King would, leaving out the fact that he got shot in the face. So,
my God, people.
Yeah, so, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, like, just being a straight-up dickhead. And, you know, special shout-out to his fiance, who she also turns out to be a dickhead because, like, there was this picture of a guy like in California, like just going to get his groceries. And they're like, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers and he's not quarantining. And she like breaks down the photo and just like obliterates. Oh, yeah. I'll see if I can find a link and send it to you. But she just like obliterates this guy. She's like, this is not Aaron because look at his shoulders. Basically, like, look at this schlub. He couldn't be Aaron. He's not. And then look at how he's walking. And he doesn't look like he's packing it. Let me tell you, Aaron Rodgers. Is, and I'm like, you just called that guy a little dick schlub. Like, he didn't do anything.
Walking out in public. He's just trying to go home from the grocery store and getting called out on Twitter.
His friends are like texting him and making fun of him. And he's like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, Shailene Woodley apparently said you got a small package, buddy. I don't know what to tell you. So yeah, that whole household.
That whole household. I'm actually terrified the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. So I'm hoping with everything I've got.
Bomani Jones brought up a really good point where he's like, the Packers are not built to win a Super Bowl in Lambeau because basically it gets so cold there, you're chucking around like a leather brick. Like, they're not built to run the ball. So I'm like, you know what? That's a good point. That's why they do always flame out.
I'll be right. Kara has no fear right now. She's testing the football gods she's saying the same thing. They're going to flame out. They don't do anything. I'm like, stop risking it. What if he wins? What if he wins one? He wins one for the Chud this year.
What would be the worst thing in the world to me is if it was a Packers Steelers Super Bowl, and I have to see either Ben Roethlisberger or Aaron Rodgers. Oh my God. I would be so torn because I'm like, God, I want the Steelers to lose, but I need that black head coach to get another ring. Damn it.
Black coach agenda. I do love me some Tomlin. I don't know. If it were Roethlisberger versus Rodgers, I'm rooting for Bane to blow up the stadium.
If Hines Ward steps on the field, I know what's about to happen.
Right. Oh, my God. I do love me some Tomlin, though. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'll give you my number two. It's not a good segue, and I apologize in advance. You know, when I picked these names and I was like, these are definitely chuds. But I don't know how much fun we're going to have with this one, but it's John McDonough and Joel Quenneville from the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Look, we don't have to dive into this. There's not a lot of humor to be mined here, unfortunately, but Joel Quenneville and John McDonough should walk backwards into a volcano and just be done with it.
Okay. Yeah,
that's all I got to say. I'm sorry.
Yeah, reading that whole story, I was just like, oh well, I guess I'm not a fan of the Blackhawks anymore. Because, good Lord, that was terrible. Like they yada yada like known sexual assault.
yeah. And I'll tell you, the thing that offends me most, because I'm an HR professional, is just the lack of policy and procedures that were followed here. That's, you know, just a strong HR department would have prevented this from the get. So I'm sorry. You know, like I said, as I was going, running through names and like doing, you know, like research and trying to figure out, like, I was like, oh yeah, those guys are chumps. They just... And then I hopped on with you and, you know, I've got my notes and I'm like, I had forgotten because I was so excited about number one. I'd forgotten number two. So John McDonough, it's just not funny. I'm sorry. It's not funny at all.
No.
What do you have?
We can make fun of this. I got Ted Cruz. Now, when you talk about, if you looked up Chud in the dictionary, it's a picture of his mushy, punchable face. Like, I hate Ted Cruz so much. He is such a piece of shit. Cowardly piece of shit. Donald Trump called his wife ugly, said that his father killed Kennedy, and he's still sucking up and defending this guy. I'm not saying, like, I am the world's greatest fighter, that I would destroy somebody, but if you call my wife ugly, we have to fight. Like,
I'm going to fight.
On principle, we got to fight. Like, I can't come in here and look at my wife in the face and be like, hey, you know that guy that called you ugly? I was just on CNN defending him. You know, what's for dinner?
He pulls this stuff all the time. The guy has no backbone. I'm sitting here thinking, like, how is he where he is, given that he has seemingly no ability whatsoever to stand up to anything? I just saw a clip. He was, so what is today, the 12th? So I think the day before or the day after, right around the anniversary of January 6th, some of your co-workers' favorite holidays.
Is it the Tucker Carlson?
He gave a statement. Yes. Yeah. He gave a statement where he called it a riot or an insurrection or whatever he said.
A terrorist attack.
terrorist attack. Thank you. I apologize. And Carlson has him on. And within 10 seconds, Cruz has not only folded, capitulated, but he's like lambasting himself, like flagellating himself on national television. Like, I don't know. Cruz has nothing going for him.
I have absolutely no idea how, not only how he got to where he is, but how he remains where he is. So during the whole, the power outage with the ice storm in Texas, this numbnuts jumped on a flight to Mexico and got the hell out of Dodge, right? And rather than saying like, hey, you know what? I had the ability to get my family somewhere where there was power, where it was warm, where he's just like, well, my daughters wanted to go to Mexico. So, you know, I took them on a like, he just threw his daughters under the bus. And then he was like, yeah, you know what? I was just, you know, gonna escort them there and then come back. And then like somebody in the group chat, like released the text. And it's like, they very much were not planning to come back like that quick.
No, but what? You had a suitcase. You had a roller suitcase with you, dude. That's not an overnight.
A big one.
You had at least 4 changes of clothes.
And then what I thought was really going to get him was he left his dog behind. I was like, oh boy. I was like, the whites of Texas are not going to stand for this, sir. Okay. They still give Michael Vick hell. You, sir, are in for trouble. And I'm frankly disappointed.
Well, it goes to show you what you know, when the chips fall where they have to, you know, the difference between Michael Vick and Ted Cruz is very plain to see. And so, you know, people care about dogs up to a point. I just don't get why anybody would support, vote, or respect a man like Ted Cruz. I don't get it. He's not overly Texan. Right? Yeah. He's not a tough guy. And so he doesn't embody any of the stereotypes about Texas. I don't know what's his platform? Like, what is he renowned for?
Being an asshole? Kicked.
Yeah, he just, I don't get it. Ted Cruz to me is an anomaly. And I, not that I don't agree obviously with Trump and all these idiots, but I can understand what the mass appeal is. Like why people would, you know, would like gravitate towards something like that. But Ted Cruz has none of the authoritarian strongman qualities that you think people would like, which sort of fall in line. He's like the guy, you know, like at the tribal council who's like kind of like meekly raises his hand and is like, well, I don't know if we've all been pushing our weight down by the river. And it's like, Ted, shut the fuck up. And you're going to do what the rest of us tell you. I just don't know how people like him have survived this long.
I don't understand, like, he calls himself, like, oh, you know, we Texans. And I'm like, bitch, you were born in Calgary. Like, you went to Princeton and Harvard. Like, you're not this,
that's what I'm saying.
You're not this rugged cattle rancher. Just because you put some boots on for a picture, like, stop it.
He doesn't even have a Southern accent. Brian Kelly has more of a Southern accent than Ted Cruz.
I will buy Brian Kelly as a Louisiana backwoodsman before I'll buy Ted Cruz as a Texan.
Oh, that is good. Ted Cruz is a good pick.
Gah, a good pick. Piece of shit.
I'll be honest, when I suggested this Grandpa Joe award, it was with one person in mind, at least from my perspective.
Okay, I feel like we may have the same person, so I'm really excited to see who your number one is.
I'm excited, but I don't want to get my hopes up, because if it's somebody different, so I have to preface this by saying I'm an Ohio State fan, and so I feel like I'm qualified to talk about Urban Meyer. You know, I was excited when the Buckeyes got Urban Meyer, and sure, you know, you want to hire him on at the Jacksonville Jaguars, like, okay, like, you know, he didn't handle Zach Smith well at all, and I certainly, you know, not real fan of him anymore, but like, okay, sure, I think it's a good fit. He is, I'm not, this is not hyperbole. He is the worst coach, I think, certainly in my lifetime, in any sport that I can think of. He flamed out, his tenure with the Jacksonville Jaguars was historically bad. And so he is, by my count, the Grandpa Joe Award winner of the year. Urban Meyer, there's just too many things that he did wrong this year. Do we have the same?
We have the same one.
Yeah.
As soon as you suggested it, I was like, it's Urban Meyer. I didn't even need to.
It's Urban Meyer. It's too easy, almost. I wish Urban Meyer is this year's Grandpa Joe. He is a chud.
From June
and
from June to him getting fired, he squeezed in so many like scandals and many scandals. Like it's amazing. It's honestly impressive.
It's sort of like in the early days of like Trump and stuff. Like it just felt like every day there was something else and you were just like having trouble keeping track of it all. And Urban Meyer, I'll tell you, just like you almost couldn't believe every time something else happened. It was like, and I think the first thing, and I can't remember the exact timeline. I can't remember if he hired the racist strength coach first.
I got the whole timeline here. Okay, so it started with hiring Chris Doyle. That was week one.
Right out of the gate. Yeah. Right out of the gate. Oh, God. Right out of the gate.
Then there was the fine for excessive contact during OTAs. He berated his assistant coaches and called them losers in a staff meeting and told them to prove their resume. He threatened to fire anybody who got caught leaking information to the media. The whole Tim Tebow thing. He kicked Josh Lambeau during warmups and then said, and then he told him, I can do what the fuck I want because I'm the ball coach.
Yeah, he used the term ball coach.
He benched James Robinson because he said he was injured, and Trevor Lawrence comes out and he was like, no, he wasn't injured.
Yeah.
You know how bad you got to be for a rookie quarterback to go to the media and be like, he's lying. Also, that week cost me in my fantasy league because he sat James Robinson and I ended up losing by like six. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. But anyway, let's see. He said that the team factored vaccination status into roster cuts and then had another investigation by the Players Association. And then there was, of course, the whole staying in Cincinnati.
I'm not familiar with this incident. Give me a rundown of what occurred here in Cincinnati in his steakhouse.
Well, let's just say that they lost the football game. You know, it happens. And what usually happens is the coach hops the plane with the team. They go over why did they lose and, you know, how we're going to bounce back from this. Urban said, nah, you know what, y'all fly back. I need some time to decompress. I'm going to head on down to Urban Meyer's steakhouse. And when he got to Urban Meyer's steakhouse, you know, instead of having a meal with his wife and, you know, just talking about like, oh, it's so good to be somewhere, you know, comfortable and, you know, where people know my name. He's sitting at the bar and a young lady is doing her best Cardi B impersonation on him. And Urban looks like he is loving it.
His
wife is tweeting how she's giving the grandkids a bath, like at the exact same time.
Yes. She's out there going, you know what? It's really hard. And you know what? His night out, he deserves it. You know, I've got the grandkids. And you're 1,000%. She's at home, you know, taking care of two children while he has abandoned his team, his job, and he's putting his hand down the pants of some random woman at the bar. Unbelievable.
And here's how you know people don't respect him, because he's at the steakhouse that has his name on it, and nobody's like, hey man, put that camera down. We don't do that to Urban here. Like, no, they were just like, look at this, look at that old ass loser. Send me that video.
That's such a good point. I hadn't even thought about that. That's so good. You're right. They would have shut it down if they actually cared about who he was. If he actually had any supporters. Oh, yeah. My God.
It's like if Peanut Tillman had a bar in Chicago and he got hammered and somebody started recording him, at least 8 people would peanut punch that phone out of that person's hand and then kick him out. Because Chicago respects Peanut Tillman. That's not this. This is just a hypothetical. I'm just throwing out a beloved Chicago figure. So if you hear this, Peanut Tillman, don't sue me, okay? I'm not besmirching your good name.
We know he's a friend of the program.
Friend of the podcast, Peanut Tillman, of course.
Well, and then Urban, and again, I forgive me if I don't have the exact quote, but he came out like, So then all this uproar, right? And he has to address the media and like take questions on it. And he gave some quote about it. He was like, well, it's true. I did have a conversation with Trevor Lawrence before he went on his, you know, bachelor party to Las Vegas, and I warned him. So now he's putting his star rookie quarterback's business out there, you know, like while he's trying to defend himself. The guy will throw anybody and everybody under the bus. He is a liar and a cheat. And frankly, wow, Urban Meyer, he is horrible.
Yeah. And what kills me is, let's see here. I was trying to find the quote about the Vegas trip, but can't find it. But it's funny how he taught a course on leadership at Ohio State. And this is what he does. Like, he is.
He can't even help himself. Like, I actually wonder, like, is this guy a habitual liar? So just a few days ago, a former Ohio State player had a thread, you know, slammed Urban and referenced a couple of things that occurred, like, when he was at Ohio State, like Urban telling him, if I ever catch you smoking, I'm going to end your fucking life. And which is a terrible thing to say to a 17-year-old. But the other thing, the guy said he was in a team meeting and they put a picture of Trayvon Martin on the PowerPoint and they said no more hoodies allowed in the team facility. So this guy's tweeting about this. He's telling a story. Urban comes out. He releases this excoriating statement, like in no uncertain terms, is this true? You know, I don't understand what his recollection is. He basically throws this former player under the bus. And then 2 days later, it comes out that, yeah, it did happen. And Urban's like, I guess I didn't know about it. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the absolute, like, worst. And I wish I had, like, a word to, like, describe him that was, like, worse than worse. But he's just, like, the bottom of the barrel. Like, he's such a good football coach that, like, he's been able to get by on all that. But nobody ever brings up like how he's looked at this like moral dude, like this God-fearing man who has team Bible studies and all that. And I'm like, okay, Tim Tebow, he had one super religious guy, but that Florida team also had the Pouncies. It had noted murderer Aaron Hernandez. Percy Harvin was on the team. And if you've heard stories about Percy Harvin in college, first off, one of my favorite stories is a coach tells Percy, like, hey, you need to go do this. Percy, obviously high and or hungover, told him, fuck that, and then goes out and then proceeds to line up where he wants to, calls the play, and then takes the ball to the house.
I had never heard that story before. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, apparently he's known for giving people them hands, and that coach was like, I don't get paid enough for this. Go ahead, do whatever you want to do, Chief. So yeah, like those Florida teams were like the Wild Wild West. So,
oh yeah, oh Urban, it makes me sad that I ever liked him and that I was ever excited about him, because he's clearly the shittiest of the human beings. He's really, and he's not just, it's like, it would be offensive enough if he, you know, just did shitty stuff, and like, but he's an idiot about how he goes about it. So yeah. That's kind of offensive to me, that he's not even smart enough to like pull some of these shenanigans off. And then the line, it's like, dude, you know, it's patently transparent. So, I hope he goes away, but I'm pretty sure that Liberty is going to hire him in like 4 years when they fire Hugh Freeze, and Urban Meyer will be coaching college football again at some point.
Yeah, I can see him popping up at like a Liberty, or is there another like super Christian college out there like that? That's low enough on the radar that they wouldn't catch too much heat for it, but also good enough where they'd be like on TV. Like Texas Christian, maybe.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. TCU, sure. Oh, boy. Urban Meyer. He is. he didn't even last a full season. Oh my God. Joe Judge got 2 seasons out of the Giants. Urban Meyer couldn't even rise to that.
Joe Judge is he's Tom Landry compared to Urban Meyer. Like, good God. Like, Joe Judge was I think Joe Judge is like a good dude. He's just like not built to be a head coach. And that's, you know, that's fine. Not many people are. But, you know, Urban Meyer, built to be a head coach, just a terrible human being.
I don't even know if he was, I half suspect he was just trying to get fired the whole time and try to collect some severance out of him. But he got hit with the rightful termination, or termination with cause. So I don't think he's getting paid.
Yeah, no, he is not.
Wow. I've never coached football, Brian, and obviously the chances of me succeeding in a head coaching position would be approximately 0%. But I promise you I could do a better job than Urban Meyer. I promise you I could do a better job than Urban Meyer.
Well, you know, the first thing I would do is not kick my kicker, who is, I believe at the time he was like the 5th most accurate kicker in NFL history. I'm not going to go and kick him in the leg. That's me.
Yeah, you got to kick. If you're going to kick a kicker, kick him in the hand.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's not like Cody Parkey who double doinked us. Like, it's Josh Lambeau was a pretty good kicker, Pro Bowl. So, yeah, that'd be my first move. Also, not bench James Robinson, your 1,000-yard rusher, for reasons. Question mark.
I wouldn't have hired a racist strength coach. I would have learned the rules before I, you know, started having OTAs. I wouldn't have brought Tim Tebow in.
At a position that he's never played before.
12 years after he was in the league.
Yeah.
Or however, yeah.
Was it 6, 7, 8? I don't know. A long ass time.
A long ass time.
I feel like
that he had a whole baseball career.
I feel like Tim Tebow should have made my list because he really pisses me off. Like, his whole life is a fantasy camp.
It really is. He kind of, yeah, he's living life like, yeah, it's a camp.
He lives like a Make-A-Wish kid. Like, he just goes, oh, the woke mob's going to cancel me for that comment.
Oh, that's good, though. He does.
But yeah,
he's perpetually dying of cancer, and so they got him out for whatever he's wanting to do next.
It's like, oh, Tim wants to skate a shift with the Philadelphia Flyers. Well, I guess we better go ahead and sign Tim Tebow.
He wants to shoot from half court during a Sixers game.
We got Ben Simmons slot. We can slide him into.
Oh my gosh.
I guess we can end it with some good news. The Bears have fired Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. We are free. Yes. We are free. We are free.
I mean, I know I said this to you, but, and it's kind of sad, but like Nagy is still like the third best coach of our lifetime. Like, that doesn't say, that says more about the Bears than it does anything else.
But yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, I was so glad that Ryan Pace was going with him, because I'm like, I think Matt Nagy could have been a good coach had he had someone build a team that was more suited to his skills.
Well, let me stop you right there for a second, because I'm not sure I want a team built for Matt Nagy, but
I definitely don't. But it was just the hand we're dealt. So
I think he would have been. I actually said this early on in the season. Like, I think, you know, the Bears started out 3-2. Like, things were looking okay right out of the gate. And I think I remember saying, like, you know, if he didn't try to call plays, if he didn't think of himself as an offensive genius, he's an upbeat and motivational, like, honest enough guy that I think could probably be a fine head coach and just turn the offense over to somebody who actually knows what they're doing. But the problem is that he doesn't have the ability to, like, take himself out of the equation. He just trusts himself too much. He has too much confidence, Matt. Matt Nagy, you have too much confidence. You got to take it down 7 notches to, like, the, you know, Ted Cruz level confidence, and then you'd probably be okay.
Well, but what I would say is, he thinks he's Andy Reid, when really he should be looking at, like, John Harbaugh. Like, John Harbaugh is probably my favorite coach, just because he's like, look, I'm a special teams guy. So when it comes to offense, I'm going to let my offensive coordinator handle that. When it comes to defense, I'm going to let my defensive coordinator handle that. I'm going to help out with my special teams, but I'm going to make the final decision. But you guys run the show, basically.
Yeah. And it works. Look at how they've done.
Yeah. If they didn't get absolutely murdered by injuries this year, they'd be in the playoffs again. They almost made the playoffs with like a backup and me at running back. So,
yeah, it was. Yeah, their luck was so bad that once their entire, you know, all the running backs on their roster got injured, like, they started looking at other players, just like free agents and players on other teams, and those guys started getting injured. So I don't know what was going on with them this year, but you're right. They went 8-9, I think.
They lost Lamar out for the last 4 games. Yeah, they lost 3 running backs before week 1. Like, how do you bounce back from that?
Meanwhile, the Bears had their entire complement, their entire roster, basically healthy most of the year. Bits and pieces, I suppose. Although, whatever, they had injuries. But we didn't sniff anywhere near that kind of success.
Like, with Matt Nagy, when it was the Cleveland game, Fields' first start. That was the game where I was like, he's got to go. Because Dan Orlovsky on ESPN was like, either he's incompetent or he's doing this out of spite. But either way, you can't be a head coach if this is the outcome. Because he was like, that was just terrible. It was terrible game planning. There was no game
plan. Oh, terrible. No, I mean, Myles Garrett had 4 sacks. They didn't chip him until the end of the game. They didn't do any rule. I mean, whatever. We don't have to rehash that.
Double him at all. It was certainly a bold strategy. I'll give him that.
Yeah. It didn't work out. But yeah, Nagy. So who are you? Do you have a wish list or, you know, a handful of guys that you'd be okay with?
I like Brian Flores. I like, of course, Eric Bieniemy. I'd like an offensive-minded coach, just because we got Justin Fields. Like, we got to play to his strengths. Bieniemy, Brian Daboll out of Buffalo.
That's, I like Leftwich.
I like Leftwich. Jim Caldwell, I wouldn't be opposed to. He's a solid dude.
I just saw this. This didn't happen that long ago, but I must have just like vaporized this nugget. Jim Caldwell, when he coached the Lions, His record was 36-28. He was 8 games over .500 with the Lions.
He took them to the playoffs twice in 3 years. The Lions.
How do you fire that guy? Yeah. How does Jim Caldwell not have a job right now?
He's won everywhere he went, and the one losing season he had was because Peyton Manning broke his neck.
Yeah.
Like,
if you can go 36-28 with the Lions, they should build a statue for you outside Pontiac Silverdome.
Oh, God.
Wherever that stadium is.
Like, it's being here in Michigan and now seeing people after they've gone through Matt Patricia and being super excited with Dan Campbell going 3-13-1, like the longing in their eyes for Jim Caldwell. Like, it's one of those, like, you don't know what you got till it's gone moments. Like, I can hear the Joni Mitchell playing as they like look at pictures of him on the ESPN.
I know that the Bears interviewed VP of football ops in Pittsburgh, Omar Khan. And then they've interviewed a couple guys out of Cleveland.
I know the guy from Buffalo as well, I know, got interviewed. The VP of football operations at Buffalo. So they, they're double dipping with Buffalo.
Yeah, because they also, I thought they were going to interview Leslie Frazier also.
Yeah, they are. So that triple dip.
That whole organ. It's like, did they let Mitch Trubisky go on a scouting mission to report back?
Trubisky's going to sign back next year.
Yeah, he's coming back.
I really would. Like the GM, I wouldn't mind if we got Lewis Riddick. I love Lewis Riddick from ESPN because he was the former director of scouting for the Eagles. And he just does like common sense stuff. He's just like, hey, this person's like really fast. Why don't we just, I don't know, run a fly route?
Yeah.
Get the ball in his hand and just like let him run. It's football. It's not deep.
Can I share with you, I don't know, you're probably going to make fun of me and call me crazy, but I feel comfortable enough to share this with you that I actually would be kind of excited on the DL if they got John Harbaugh.
I'm not going to make fun of you because after Matt Nagy, I would also be excited for John Harbaugh.
He did well with the 49ers. I know that was years ago. And actually, interestingly, Vic Fangio was the defensive coordinator when those teams were going on. So actually, Fangio probably carried Harbaugh and Nagy, and just needs to go back to being a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he's an elite defensive coordinator. But Mike, my God, he was not a good head coach.
No, I feel like he just did something in the last game. He might have kicked a field goal instead of going for it. I don't remember. He did something.
Well, he had Drew Locke, so I'm going to give him a pass on that one.
I don't know. Did you see, not to go back to Joe Judge, but did you happen to see them 3rd-and-9 from their own 6-yard line? With 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, and they ran a QB sneak.
Didn't they do it twice?
They might. Yeah, did they do it twice?
I think they did it on second and third down.
All right, I knew for sure it was third, and I thought it was second, but I wasn't confident enough because I hadn't seen the play. But I saw the third down. Yeah, 2 plays in a row.
I mean, if you've got like a Cam Newton and you're like running one of those like power running plays, that's one thing. They had Jacob Fromm, who they just signed from like Buffalo's practice squad, I think. So, and he's not really known for being a runner.
You don't even trust him to hand off. I mean, you have a position on the team called running back. Just hand it to them and see what happens. Like, you know,
I just said, just throw it. You're not making the playoffs. Like, what do you have to lose?
That's kind of thing is like, yeah, to me, there'd be almost nothing more fun than being a coach, knowing you're not going to, you know, be around the next week just empty the playbook. Just have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Just have some fun.
Yeah, I saw Houston did like a double reverse last week, and I'm like, yeah, that's right. This coach knows that he's the sacrificial lamb for this season, and he's just like, you know what?
You
screw it. I'm getting $4 million, and I'm about to break out the Madden playbook.
I love it. Good stuff, man.
I did look up here some of the moves of Ryan Pace as GM. And I got,
let's see how many of these are familiar to me.
I got really sad. There was
like, so my, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh no, go ahead.
I was going to say my least favorite moves of the Ryan Pace era. Number one, letting Robbie Gould go, cause you didn't want to pay him $3 million. And then what you did was you gave Cody Parkey a 3-year contract for $9 million, and then you cut him after one, and you still paid him $9 million. So that was a terrible move, and it cost us, arguably, it cost us the playoffs, right? Because the double doink and Gold had been around. So that was bad. Moving up one spot to grab Trubisky was bad. Drafting Kevin White was bad. Drafting Leonard Floyd and then letting him go to the Rams was bad. Giving Andy Dalton $10 million was bad. Trading for Nick Foles was bad. So anyway, I can keep going, but you've got a list. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. You hit a lot of them, but there was let's see. There was giving Mike Glennon 3 years, $45 million, and 18.5 guaranteed.
I forgot about that one.
This is one that it was buried deep in my head, like. I must have like locked this away in my subconscious because it's too depressing. We drafted Adam Shaheen, tight end. Who did we draft him before? George Kittle. We could have had George Kittle.
Instead, we took Adam Shaheen, who, if you're wondering if he's still in the league, I don't know, but that answers the question.
I don't think he's in the league.
It doesn't matter, because if we're not sure, he's not good.
Yeah. I know where George Kittle is. He's on the All-Pro team.
Yeah, George Kittle. Yeah, that's, you know, Pace has only drafted like 40-some-odd picks over his tenure. And I think, you know, the Patriots, Ravens, Packers in that same time period have had like 20-plus more picks. So, like, you know, I'm not saying Pace is a terrible talent evaluator. He's hit on some picks, no question. But, like, if you're only drafting, you know, two-thirds of what everybody else is, your margin of error is so thin. When you get it wrong, dude, that then sets us back. So I'm sorry, Pace. Like, not a bad dude, but yeah, not good.
I feel like he does well in the late round, so he always tries to, like, trade down. Mm-hmm. So, like, he found, Tariq Cohen. Who else was there? Jalen Johnson.
Eddie Jackson.
Eddie Jackson, yeah.
You know, before, previously.
Roquan Larry Smith Blaine. Was a duh. Like, you had to pick Roquan Smith. He was, he did the Khalil Mack trade. So, I mean, you know, not all bad, but when it was bad, it set us back.
Really bad. And his quarterbacks, I mean, he had 6 shots at it before he got Fields. It's like,
let's see, Mike Glennon, Chase Daniel, man. Nick Foles, Andy Dalton. Ooh, good grief. Mitch Trubisky. Yikes.
Trubisky. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I used to be upset we didn't draft Deshaun Watson, but knowing what we know about him now, you know what? I'm fine with Mitch Trubisky. Just kind of wish we hadn't traded up for him.
Look, if we'd gotten Mitch at 3, I don't think we'd be talking about this, you know, the same way.
Yeah.
It would just be, all right, we whiffed on a quarterback. Like, you know, put the blame on Trubs. But when you move up, when you give up so much capital to move up one spot, you got to be damn sure.
To a team that was not going to draft him, like, and they were set on drafting Solomon Thomas at 2, like that was it. Oh, God.
He gifted us Justin Fields, and I'm hopeful that whoever comes in will maximize and, Fields turns into everything that I think he can be. But, you know, Pace is one of those guys where, like, if we end up turning this thing around finally and the Bears end up being good in short order, it's like one of those where, you know, I think we can bank Ryan Pace for what he did, giving him all of the praise.
Yeah, I mean, look, he just didn't know when to, like, cut bait. Like, that was his downfall.
Yeah.
Sometimes things don't work. You got to move on quick. You can't just dig your heels in and be like, nope, this is going to work. I can feel it.
Yep. Oh, but I am excited about the Bears, mostly because this is the only sort of excitement we get, because they're really not good very often. But I feel like every 4 years, like every Olympic cycle, they change coaches. And it's like, all right, we get to hope again. You know, we get to dream about, like, maybe it could happen to us. Maybe this is it. And they'll hire somebody. And, you know, the first year you'll see the dead cat bounce. And then 2, 3, and 4 are like, no, this is really, really unpleasant. Like wet jeans, unpleasant. And then we can do it again. So I'm eagerly awaiting disappointment.
I mean, at this point, I'm just hoping, like, Aaron Rodgers leaves the Packers and they go into a free fall. Like, seeing their organization in shambles will make me feel so much better.
That's all I can hope. They take Aaron Rodgers for so much granted. They take good quarterback play for so much granted up there. Oh, yeah, it would be. On paper, Aaron Rodgers is gone this year, next year. He's only got a handful of years left, maybe, up there. And then Fields is ascending. I mean, the storyline can be written. The prophecy just needs to be told.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rodgers thinks he's out after this year, so.
Yeah, him and Davante Adams, they posted that last dance picture of Jordan and Pippen. So, we'll see what happens.
Fingers crossed.
That's all we can do. That's it. What we got?
All right, man. Well, I guess this has been a good 100th episode.
Hey, man. Congratulations again. I love your brother.
I love you. Thank you for agreeing to come on here. You've been the guest I've had on here the most.
I feel sorry for you, man. Really, you know. It says more about you than it does me, Brian, frankly. But I appreciate you anyway, man, anytime.
All right, man. Well, you take it easy. All right, man. Peace.
All right, bud. Be well.